One, two, three, four. Well, hello and welcome. It's just about midnight somewhere, and there's a storm coming. So why don't you settle on in and let me tell you a story to get your mind off all of those crazy things going on in the world. Hell, maybe there's even a lesson in here somewhere. What I mean by that is there's a lot of people out of work these days on account of a virus that a lot of other people are saying could turn into a plague like nothing we've ever seen before. Even the stock market crashed. But don't you forget that this all happened once before, and we survived it just fine. Now maybe I'm getting old. Of course, there's a cute blonde out there who'd disagree with that one. So we'll just say I'm getting old enough to know sometimes all you need is a good story to pass some troubled times like these. Now this particular story is about a fellow named Carl Pruitt. I don't really know much about most of Carl's life. But to be honest, I don't really care. It ain't all that important. His life, I mean. It can't be nearly as interesting as his death. What I do know is Carl Pruitt was a carpenter, and most likely by the time he died, he was an odd job man. You know, taking anything that came his way as long as it put enough money in his pocket to put a little bit of food on the table at the end of the night. Before the day he died, and the day this story starts, Carl Pruitt had probably lived just about like most small-town, barely-educated folks had lived during the Great Depression. Same way a lot of folks are living right now, with everything closed down and the economy crashing like a speed freak after a good weekend binge. He was living hand-to-mouth. He probably didn't have much in life besides the clothes on his back, a little house that most of us couldn't imagine having to live in, and of course, his lovely wife. It is easy to believe that wife of his was the only thing in life that made it worth waking up every morning, after doing whatever menial shit job he had to do, to be able to put a little food on the table. I gotta think old Carl was really looking forward to getting home to a hot meal and his hot wife, that one person he had in his miserable existence. Imagine how he must have felt when he got home and she wasn't in the kitchen waiting on him. She wasn't in the living room either. Matter of fact, it's a good bet she wasn't even expecting him to come home, at least not for a while, because when poor old Carl reached the back bedroom, he found his wife, that one person he loved, in bed with another man. Now, I've never found myself in the position of standing in a doorway looking at my wife taking it from another man, and maybe the fear of that situation is what's kept me from getting married all these years. So it's hard for me to say for sure what I'd do if I was in old Carl's worn-out shoes. For a second at least, Carl didn't do anything. He just stood there in shock long enough for that other fella to pull his pants up and scram out the window, or maybe he just ran past Carl, but either way, he made it out the house. He was long gone by the time old Carl Pruitt figured out what he was going to do. There was probably all kinds of things laying around Carl could have killed her with. Hell, he was probably hurt enough to just use his hands. Of course, that hurt turned to anger right quick, so he used the chain, and it was laying on the floor in between them. He wrapped it right around her neck and pulled it good and tight, and by the time his hurt and shock-fueled rage had gone away, his wife was dead. And there was Carl Pruitt, looking down at the only woman he'd ever loved, laying there dead at his feet with the ends of the chain in his hands and the rest of it wrapped around her neck. About that time, the regret must have took him, the same way the rage had taken him only minutes before. So as he cried about the terrible turn his already hopeless life had taken, poor Carl Pruitt did the only thing he thought was left for him to do. He wrapped that chain around his own neck and hung himself. But all of his pain and sorrow and anger, as it turns out, was only the beginning of his story. Now it's worth pointing out that a place like Pulaski County, Kentucky back in 1938 was a fairly close-knit community. old grudges were still fairly likely to turn into feuds that could just as easily turn to violence and open bloodshed, and new grudges were being made every single day. It's easy to understand why Pruitt's dead wife's family refused to forgive him, even if she was just a cheating whore who may have gotten what was coming to her, even if forgiving him was the Christian thing to do. But as I'm sure you're already aware, in life, Christians only ever see things from one point of view. So the family made sure that murderous son of a bitch, Carl Pruitt, was buried good and far from their beloved daughter. Maybe they just figured that way he could never hurt her again. Carl Pruitt was buried in a whole different town. And this is where things get really interesting. Maybe the folks in that other town, the one where Carl Pruitt was buried, didn't know how he died. But I kind of find that hard to believe. I'm pretty sure a murder-suicide in 1938 small-town Kentucky would have been pretty big news. It would have spread through the county like wildfire. I think it is more likely the folks in that town weren't too thrilled about a wife killer that didn't even come from their town getting buried there. Like they was stuck with him. I guess that's why old Carl Pruitt's grave became a kind of target for the townsfolk. And as you'll see, the ghost of old Carl Pruitt didn't take any more kindly to his grave being a target for bored locals than he had taken to seeing his wife taking it from another man. Matter of fact, according to the locals, Carl's ghost was showing his displeasure at being buried there almost as soon as the sod was laid over top of his body, when the grass started growing back. You see, there were dark spots in it that looked like circles. Most folks visiting the cemetery said these circles came together, and if you looked at them just the right way, they kind of looked like, well, they kind of looked like a chain. It's fair to say that this chain that kind of looked burned into the ground over the rotting corpse of such a notorious son-of-a-bitch wife killer as Carl Pruitt made most people that came to the cemetery steer clear of his gravesite. But there's always those stupid people, those smart-ass types that think they're tougher than they are. You see them all the time on the Twitter. Social media breeds them like flies on shit. But there were some, even back in Pulaski County, Kentucky, back in 1938. It was some kids, most of them just out being kids, doing the kind of thing kids used to do before video games and pizza rolls made them overweight, pasty introverts. They were just cruising around on their bicycles with no particular plan to cause any trouble. But like all bored kids tend to do, they found themselves a little bit of trouble all the same. History's kind of hidden if it was the leader of the particular band of trouble finders, or just one of the hangers-on trying to impress the older boys. But it don't really matter which one. Either way, once these boys found their way to the cemetery, they found themselves at old Carl Pruitt's grave. They must have already heard some kind of rumor about that shadow of a chain burned into the grass above the killer's body. Then, maybe just to pass the time, dares were made and dares were accepted. Rocks were thrown. The rocks slammed off Carl's tombstone, and nothing happened. No shrieking mad ghost coming out the ground with hellfire's eyes. No burning chain lashing out at them. So after a little while, the fun of throwing stones at the tombstone of a man that's already taken his share of stones wore off. The boys headed home to get whatever meager supper was waiting on them. A short ride in a small town like that. A ride the boy who had thrown the rocks had ridden 100 times. Only this time, the chain on his bicycle decided to pop itself off. And in the kind of freak accident nobody can rightly explain, that bike chain managed to wrap itself around his neck as he fell. The chain strangled that poor boy to death. Now you may be thinking to yourself, how weird, that boy getting killed the same way old Carl Pruitt killed his wife. But it ain't even getting weird yet. Things are still just getting started. As you can imagine, the dead boy's mother was as upset as a person could be. In times like that, it don't matter if he was a good boy who always did his chores, or if he was a little shit. Her boy was dead, and when something like that happens, no matter how freak of an accident it may have been, it's only human nature to want to blame someone. Or something. in this case, whether she believed it in her heart, or was just pushed by her grief into a temporary madness, she decided to take it out on old Carl Pruitt, or rather, on his tombstone. Not long after her son was strangled to death by the bicycle chain that just may have been pulled tight by ghostly hands, the dead boy's mother decided to take an axe to Carl Pruitt's tombstone, the last memory that old Carl had ever walked the earth. She didn't manage to do much, maybe a couple scratches before she gave up or came to her senses and took her grief on home. The very next day she was out hanging her laundry. Her clothesline, the same one she'd been hanging laundry on every day for years, well, it decided to wrap itself around her neck and strangle her to death, too. You'd think that these two deaths, particularly coupled with the crime old Carl Pruitt had committed to begin with, would have made people steer clear of his tombstone. You'd think folks would have just let Carl rest in peace once and for all. But just like people love proving nowadays on social media for the world to see, some folks are just plain stupid. And as we've seen already, Pulaski County, Kentucky in 1938 and 1939 had at least a few real dummies wandering around. Turns out that disrespectful punk kid and his crazy mama weren't the only two. Who knows what possessed that farmer to shoot his pistol at Carl Pruitt's gravestone a little while after the woman was strangled by her clothesline. Maybe he was sweet on her, but had yet to gather the courage to ask her out, or court her, or leave dirty talk notes on her porch, or whatever it was people did to flirt before text messaging and direct messaging came along. Hell, maybe he was taking her a little sepia photo of his pecker on the day she was found hanged by the neck until she was dead. Or maybe the farmer was Carl's wife's lover. You remember, the one that was giving her the deed when old Carl Pruitt came home? He went out the window, or the door. He got off scot-free for his part in all of this. Matter of fact, I can't even find mention of his name. So maybe the farmer who decided to stop his cart and fire off a pistol full of shots at Carl's tombstone was that fella. Come to get the tiniest bit of revenge on Carl Pruitt for killing the married woman that he loved. Or at least, that he told he loved. Either way, the farmer managed to get a few shots off before the sound of the pistol spooked his horses. They bolted right about the time he managed to graze old Carl's tombstone. The farmer tried to rein the horses in, but I guess he was about as lousy a cowboy as he was a gunfighter. He ended up falling off the cart, and in all the commotion, those reins managed to wrap themselves around his neck. By the time the horses settled down, well, that farmer had been strangled to death by the reins of his own horse cart. Now the next two fellas to get on old Carl Pruitt's nerves were, in my opinion, the most interesting. They're the only two that didn't physically attack his tombstone. I suppose that they did defile it, if you look at it from the right point of view. I mean, if you're looking for motives that may have kept old Carl Pruitt killing folks well past the time his body was put in the good earth. These two fellas were policemen. Now, I've always held to the opinion that only two kinds of people go into law enforcement. One, the very selfless and brave, and two, the kind of cowards that just want to be able to bully folks without having to suffer any consequences. If I had to take a guess, I'd say these two fellas fell into that second category. Seems to me the selfless and brave kind of lawmen are too busy protecting innocent folks and upholding the law to go try and disprove the growing urban legend of a murderous ghost while they're on duty. Because that's just what these two fellas did. They decided that all the deaths, linked only by a gravestone of one Carl Pruitt, were all just coincidence. Being pretty unimaginative folks, they figured the only way to prove old Carl wasn't strangling people from beyond the grave was to go take some photos at his gravestone. They stood around, and I'm betting they were hamming it up, maybe riding a headstone like a pretend horse, or maybe rubbing their nuts on it or something. I'm also guessing they were daring old Carl's ghost to do something about it. They probably laughed at him as they strolled out the cemetery. They got back in their squad car and drove away, no doubt still laughing at old Carl Pruitt, feeling pretty strong the way bullies always feel strong when nobody fights back. Little way down the road, they didn't feel so strong. Little way down the road, the fellow driving looked up in the rearview mirror, and he saw a ball of light coming right out the cemetery. The ball of light started following them down the road, and as the ball got closer, where their true colors started showing. You see, instead of stopping the car and getting out to see what was happening, they just sped up and tried to outrun their strange, otherworldly pursuer. Apparently the fella driving, who it would seem was the one talking the most shit back at the gravestone, lost control of the car. They ended up going off the road. The passenger either managed to jump out or was thrown from the car and apparently survived the entire ordeal. The driver was not so lucky. He was still in the car when it ran into an old metal fence, and he died when the chain connecting two of the fence posts came through the windshield. That chain just about cut his head clean off. From the time old Carl Pruitt had killed his wife to the death of that police officer, less than 2 years had passed. By 1940, most folks had gotten the point that the ghost of Carl Pruitt really didn't like getting messed with, so most folks left his tombstone well enough alone. But just after the turn of the decade, one more fella had to try his luck against old Carl's cursed grave. That's what the locals started calling it. Don't know anything about this fella, except he just walked right into the cemetery, plain as can be, with a hammer in his hand, and who knows what on his mind. Nothing good, that's for sure. Little while later, the locals heard that hammer hitting the stone sitting above old Carl Pruitt's body. After a few minutes, the hammering stopped, and the screaming started. By the time anyone got there to see what was going on, they found the poor fella dead at the entrance of the cemetery. Somehow the chain used to lock the graveyard's gate at night had gone and wrapped themselves around his neck. That chain strangled him to death. Shortly after this death, all the bodies were exhumed from the cemetery so that a mining company could strip the land. That man ended up being the last person to get killed by, or at least on account of, Carl Pruitt. Now, when we started this story, I told you I thought there may just be a lesson in it. A lot of folks, I'm sure, mourned all those people that got killed. A lot of people curse Carl Pruitt, even to this day, for being a low-down, murderous son of a bitch. But I see it a little different. The way I see it, right from the start, right from the time his wife snuck another man into his bed, people disrespected Carl Pruitt. If I had to guess, I'd say people were disrespecting Carl long before that. I can't think of a more disrespectful thing that a wife can do to her husband than cheat on him in their own bed. And defiling a man's grave, mocking him just because you think there's no way he can get back at you, well, that's more than disrespect. That's just plain old cowardice. So I guess the lesson is this, at least as far as the story of Carl Pruitt relating to our modern world goes. Be careful about threatening folks on the internet, on Twitter, on Facebook, or anywhere else online. Don't let yourself believe nothing is going to happen to you just because you use a fake name and a fake picture, and just because you're hundreds of miles away with a computer screen and a keyboard as a shield. After all, If old Carl Pruitt could reach back from beyond the grave to get at the folks disrespecting him, well, I guess anything is possible. It's something to consider anyway. Well, it's time for me to sign off, so thanks a lot for stepping by, and have a good rest of your night. Right About Midnight podcast has been brought to you by me. That's me playing the guitar. That's me talking. I did all the writing and all the research that I thought was needed. We're going to try and do this weekly, and I promise you that the quality will improve. We're just getting started. So I'd like to thank you for coming by. I hope you subscribe or whatever it is you're allowed to do to make sure that you hear all the groovy new things we got coming out. If you would like to check out our website, it's in the description, and it is blackacid.com, B-L-A-K, not with a C, blackacid.com. We got some groovy t-shirts, we got some books, if you like scary stories, we got some free short stories on there. Yeah, so go on by and check it out. We got a YouTube channel that ain't got nothing on it right now. But pretty soon we're going to be uploading videos of all the podcasts we do. And make sure to check out Black Acid, because we got a couple other podcasts coming out too. Thank you very much.